Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I still feel like this is my team.
Get to Brian Perez from NBC Sports Chicago in just a minute. That is what you'd like to hear. And even though the pissed off comment is going to drive headlines and drive retweets, I understand that. And we do understand why. But I actually like that he came out like, hey, I'm still here. And I'm a leader on this team. And it's still my team. I'm the one getting these group workouts going. I'm texting everybody. And that was addressed today with the media. So let's not forget that. I thought that was pretty interesting. Probably the most interesting part of it. Because nothing else. I mean, he hit the right tone with everything. It's pretty much what you expected. And probably as a fan, what you did want to hear since you haven't heard from him in so long. If he comes out and says, yeah, I was surprised I didn't get the fifth year option. Now we got something. But you better not have been surprised. He said he had a 3-day tip-off beforehand, before the media found out that. But I could have told him that a few months back. I could have told him that last year he wasn't getting that fifth-year option. All of us could have. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's go out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Shop over 500 new and used vehicles at Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. We have Brian Perez, NBCSportsChicago.com, at Brian Perez NFL on Twitter. Brian, the man in the arena, was that plaque there for me or you?
Probably both. And every other Bears fan and football fan in Chicago. I think that was definitely not there by accident. And, you know, a pretty good product placement there, if you want to call it that, by Mitch Trubisky for sure.
I loved it. I read the entire passage that was on his wall in the first segment. It made me laugh. I was looking back other times it's been used. Apparently LeBron writes hashtag man in the arena on his shoes. Maybe there's that connection from Ohio. I found it funny, but I also enjoyed it. I thought it was a nice move by Mitch since we haven't heard from him back in December. That 20-minute session with the media this afternoon, what was the focal point for you?
Well, I think the biggest thing to draw from Trubisky's time today was a clear sense of confidence when he was speaking. I think one of the things that bothered me most about Mitch last season was he always seemed rattled in the eye of the storm. When chaos was circling around him week after week, he seemed to retreat into this corner where he didn't come across or give the vibe of a real true, strong leader who could withstand pretty much anything that comes his way. And he's now facing probably the most difficult part of his career, both present and future, in a quarterback controversy, quarterback competition. And he comes across as a guy who's pretty confident that he's going to win the job, calling the team his team, these players my players. And that's what you want to hear from a guy, especially with a guy as important as Mitch Trubisky. But and I said this on Twitter earlier today, like, I don't want to be a wet blanket for Bears fans here, but this all kind of sounds really familiar every time Trubisky has had to address what he needs to work on, his level or his approach to getting better. This is just the first time we've heard Mitch in 5 months, so it sounds new and refreshing. But if you go back and play the clips week after week from the 2019 season, there are some very similar talking points that he still repeated in today's session.
It did kind of feel like he was waving his hands and he's like, hey, remember me? I am still here. And you have to wonder, was it by design when they postponed this? It was initially going to be Trubisky first, Foles second, speaking on the same day. We don't know all the details behind it because the Bears can be very tight-lipped at times. But it was Mitch, and it was only Mitch. So someone had that idea.
Yeah, and I think it's important to do that because you don't want to have the quarterback competition get started on Zoom, right? And if Nick Foles spoke right after Mitch Trubisky, all we would have been doing today is comparing and contrasting the both of them versus actually really taking what each guy says as almost the only quarterback on the roster. And that's the way we kind of have to listen to what they're saying at this point. Who comes across as a better leader? Who comes across as more confident? Who has that aura of a franchise quarterback? And, you know, having Mitch have the stage to himself today, Nick Foles in the future having the stage to himself, that'll allow that to happen. But I'll say this, one of the things I was thinking about when I was listening to Mitch today is you almost feel like he's now that underclassman who's entering his senior year and this fourth year in the league. And when he was at North Carolina, it took him until his senior year to really blossom into a starting quarterback. He couldn't win the job as a freshman, a sophomore, or a junior, and then suddenly that fourth year something clicked. And I'm not saying that he's on the same pro career path that it takes him as an athlete 4 years to really get comfortable in his skin where he's at. But there are other players in the past, like, for example, a running back like Melvin Gordon. If you look back at Melvin Gordon's track record, he didn't break out as a high school player until his third season. He didn't break out at Wisconsin until his third season. He didn't really break out in the NFL with the Chargers until his third season. This does happen sometimes with pro athletes. Their body is on this clock where things finally start to click after they're in a system for a while. And it just felt like Mitch Trubisky is the senior on campus now. The way he was talking, the way a senior quarterback would be talking to players in his locker room. There might be something to that. He knows he's in his last year of his contract, the fourth year as a starter. He's playing for a next big contract. Money talks and motivates players just as much as a quarterback competition will. He did come across a little different today, Joe. And you know from my takes on Twitter, I am a Trubisky critic. I am one of those guys outside the arena criticizing the man in the arena. And I will say, I got to give him credit. You know, he came across like a different dude today. And hopefully that carries to the field once training camp and the regular season rolls around.
And that's exactly what the Bears have been hoping for. With Brian Perez, NBC Sports Chicago, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I think anybody that follows this at all, we understand if you ask Pace right now, in a moment of honesty, he would say, yeah, I lean Trubisky to be our week one starter. You ask Matt Nagy, you ask the rest of the coaching staff on offense, they would probably say, yeah, I lean Nick Foles to be the starter in week one. But we have a lot of time, we've got a lot of practice, and we'll have at least a couple of preseason games to figure that out. I would love to know how a guy like Allen Robinson is going to feel as we get closer and closer to the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Allen Robinson has been one of the best receivers who has been cursed by some of the worst quarterbacks for the first several years of his career. I mean, he suffered through Blake Bortles in Jacksonville and now in Chicago his first couple of years. Mitch Trubisky, he's been part of basically the Mitch Trubisky regression. It just hasn't been he hasn't had the chance to really establish himself as one of the most consistent game-changing wide receivers in the league because he hasn't had a quote-unquote Drew Brees throwing to him accurate throws in a catchable window rep after rep after rep. Who knows how many catches Robinson would have had last year? He might have had 120 catches if some of these passes that were misfires were actually in a catchable range. So I think Allen Robinson is going to always be the company line guy. Whoever the starting quarterback is, he's going to give them full faith and support. But, you know, wide receivers, I don't care how great of a guy you are, they always have that little diva streak in them. And if we get into week two or three and Trubisky is the starter and the Bears are maybe just getting by or the offense isn't nearly hitting the kind of ceiling it should, you know, he'll be one of the first guys I would think to call a spade a spade and maybe not throw Trubisky under the bus, but body language on the field. You know, that's something to watch this year is, you know, are the receivers running backs out of the backfield going to be a little quicker to throw their hands up in the air when there's a bad throw, or sort of show that frustration on the sideline, knowing
Anthony
there is a
Miller.
Guy like Nick Foles just waiting. Well, exactly. Anthony Miller had did it actually a couple times last year. But will players like A-Rob and these guys make it more of a routine? That's their signal to the coaching staff, like, we've had enough. Let's get Nick Foles in. And the opposite's also true. I mean, this isn't just rain on Trubisky. If Nick Foles is the guy missing passes, you might see these skill players with a little more of a voice on who's throwing passes just based on their body language on the field on Sundays.
Brian, Matt Nagy has gone on record over the last couple of weeks. We want to play our guys more in the preseason. And with this pandemic, it looks like we are going to have maybe two preseason games. Many of us have asked for that for years and years and years. But the one time, it looks like the Bears actually have a quarterback competition. They're going to go from four games to two games. Now, if they had four, I'm not sure that either or both of them would have played in game number one, because you see that from team to team. If it's two instead of four, does it hurt the Bears' offense?
You know, I don't think it hurts the Bears' offense as long as they play, give each guy a full game. You know, I know I've read in some other analysts have said maybe, you know, play a half and then, you know, maybe Foles plays the first half of game one and Trubisky plays the first half of game two and the other player plays the second half. I don't think that's how you settle this competition. I think you need to see how a guy not only starts a game, but also comes out in the second half, the coaching staff making adjustments. Doesn't matter who they're throwing to, or are they keeping the offense engaged, keeping the huddle tight, making timely throws, third down conversions, whether it's the first quarter or third quarter, whether they're throwing to, you know, Allen Robinson or, you know, Riley Ridley or whoever. You need to see that from a quarterback. It's you know, a lot of quarterbacks look great in the first and second quarter and then fall apart in the third and fourth. So you want to see both of these guys play a full game. Now, maybe that's the benefit of having two preseason games. They're each going to get a start rather than a coaching staff, you know, trying to spread reps out over the course of, let's say, three full preseason games. Maybe they would have gotten a quarter each in the first game, a half each in the second game. Who knows how it would have broken down. Now, you can't waste any time. The coaching staff's going to have no choice but to dedicate most of each game to one of these guys. And if it were up to me, they'd each play a full four quarters. Game one would be Trubisky or Foles. The other guy would get game two. And then honestly, Joe, if you don't know who your starting quarterback is after a full training camp and two preseason games, that means you don't have a starting quarterback. That's a problem.
Correct.
So
yep.
One of these guys, by the end of the second preseason game, should have already clearly established themselves as a starter. And then guess what? Not having a third or fourth game means the team stays healthy. The team can rally around whoever the starter is, getting ready for the regular season. The quarterback competition doesn't get dragged out longer than it should. The locker room becomes more unified behind one of the starters, whoever the starter is. And this doesn't become, you know, a kicker competition part two that extends way longer than it should. One of these guys, by the end of the first or second week of training camp, should clearly establish themselves as the starter. If Mitch Trubisky is the number two pick overall from the 2017 draft, is a fourth-year player with franchise quarterback upside, Nick Foles shouldn't stand a chance. So if by the end of the second preseason game there's still a debate, that means Nick Foles is the starting quarterback.
Naturally, we focus so much on quarterback, offensive line, and tight end for good reason. And I enjoyed the conversation the media had on a Zoom call yesterday with Tariq Cohen. And then I started thinking about him more. And he was one of those guys that we saw massive regression, but there was so much with the turnovers and the quarterback play and just how terrible the offense was. We just kind of glossed over that. It was expected after an 8-touchdown season to go down to 3. And I was making the case last night in a contract year for Cohen, his performance could loom large for the offense. If they're going to be an average offense in the NFL, they need a lot more from Cohen.
You're absolutely right. And one of the reasons I think Tariq Cohen regressed a little bit last year was because, you know, let's face it, when he was early, in the earlier part of his career, rookie second season, you know, a player like Cohen, that satellite back, that offensive weapon, the player that makes plays in space, he came in as an extremely undersized player, maybe not taken too seriously by opposing defensive coordinators. And then it's kind of like that flash knockout punch. You don't realize this guy can flip the field in the blink of an eye and be such an excellent playmaker. And over time, defensive coordinators figure out a way to stop him. And also, the Bears' offense becomes pretty predictable when he's on the field. So it kind of limits what opposing defenses have to fear from Cohen, giving them more of an opportunity to stop him. And I don't know if that changes, Joe. You know, when you look at the history of the NFL, not a lot of players with Tariq Cohen's profile, maybe Darren Sproles is one of the few exceptions, go on to have season after season after season of high-level production. It's more of a splash play player. He's going to make a play on special teams. He's going to make a play as a receiver out of the backfield, maybe have a game or two where he does really well as a running back. But can he be a consistently productive offensive weapon for the Bears? It's hard to say that the answer is yes. I mean, you got a prototypical 220-pound running back in David Montgomery who should be on the field all three downs because he's a very good receiver as well out of the backfield. You have an obvious pecking order at wide receiver in terms of who the passing game is going to feature. And then you got this guy, Tariq Cohen. What do you do with him? Are you going to take David Montgomery off the field and give him carries? No. Are you going to sacrifice maybe, you know, passes down the field to Allen Robinson, maybe Anthony Miller for Tariq Cohen? Not all that often. You will have your gadget package plays. So I think what has to happen with Tariq Cohen is his efficiency as a playmaker has to go way up. When he gets the ball, he has to make something happen. He can't just be 5 yards per reception. You know, he has to actually prove to the Bears, yeah, I'm worth a second contract because every time I touch the ball, I'm picking up 15 yards. And that's more of a Tariq Cohen thing than a Bears thing. Tariq Cohen has to prove that his first couple of years weren't just a fluky level of production from a really undersized, quick running back who NFL defenses have now been able to figure out.
With Lazor bringing his playbook to Nagy, are you expecting more from Montgomery or Cohen?
David Montgomery, look, here's the thing, right, with David Montgomery. The Bears better hope David Montgomery pans out because yeah. I did some work about this on this topic for NBC Sports Chicago over the last couple of days. And you take a look at the Bears running back depth chart, it is scary if David Montgomery goes down. There is literally nothing behind him. And that's no disrespect to the young players trying to make the final roster in training camp. Artavis Pierce is from Oregon State, undrafted rookie. Ryan Nall, also Oregon State guy, practice squad player last couple of years. But these guys are not NFL starting running backs. They're fringe NFL rosterable players, period. So if David Montgomery goes down, you are literally limiting the running game to just Tariq Cohen, and that's not going to get it done. So I really would imagine, what does that tell me? They are all in on David Montgomery. They are absolute believers that David Montgomery can be a three down, feed him until his wheels fall off running back. And maybe a Tariq Cohen just kind of takes, you know, is that change of pace guy, which he is probably best suited to be anyway, a change of pace guy, keep Montgomery's legs fresh enough for the grind it out in the fourth quarter. But I think Montgomery's the kind of player, first of all, from his Iowa State tape to his body type to his running style, he's the kind of player who could, if everything goes right for the Bears and they actually use him properly, he's that kind of player who you can give a workload to, similar to what Dallas gives Ezekiel Elliott. Let him grind the clock, let him pick up 5 yards a pop and just bang heads with the defense and wear them down. He could be a 300 carry type of running back, 250 to 300 carries. The question is, and will continue to be until the season actually kicks off, can Matt Nagy shake the quarterback complex that he has and actually commit to the running game? That's the big question. Montgomery's more than capable of handling it. Can Nagy allow that to happen? And what I said before, Joe, God forbid Montgomery goes down. There's literally no running game in Chicago.
Maybe Nagy would like that. Brian Perez, NBCSportsChicago.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Brian Perez NFL. Brian, you continue to knock it out of the park. Thank you, my friend.
I appreciate it, Joe. Take care, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.